Blog Talk Radio.
We know there are no good things in this life. But I want to say, man, we don't have to do wrong because we live in this world. If a Christian decides an amen to sin, he will need to repent. If one decides to fall by the wayside, he needs or she needs to repent. Repentance will restore you back unto God's righteousness. Repentance will restore you. Every one of us, none of us is beyond repentance. All Christians still need to repent. Whether they deliberately do something or whether they do something that they've done, amen, something they don't even know they don't know, they still need to repent. If a Christian decides to sin, he will need to repent, to turn to God in godly sorrow. That heart has to be broken. You just say, "Lord, forgive me," and go on about your business. You got to break up that body ground. You know you did wrong. You have come against God. Amen. You got to come godless sorry for your sin. He will find forgiveness from God. God will forgive you. God will forgive you. Is not an advocate. First John 2 and 1. Thank God, amen. We have a high priest. He's not too high that he can't feel I'm in front of it. We got a high priest, amen. Know what we are going through it. And if we happen to do wrong, amen, he will forgive us. Those who plant young fruit trees, rose bushes, and other types of plants have to contain with stickers while growing from below. They are called stickers because they rob the plant of the vital nutrition that was growing. And as they grow, they waste the energy of the plant, since they will produce no fruit. This is a wild growth, and it must be controlled. If the plant is to produce capital, these stickers are much like the old crown nature of a person. They're trying to regain control over the Christian. Other words, what I'm saying, if you're born to be saved, you want through something. Everything is not going to be smooth, but you still don't have to see. Wedding is the same in death, children. But the gift of God is eternal life. When a person is filled with the Holy Ghost, he receives suspension power to help him. The Holy Ghost, amen, is very important. Amen. In our day and time, we need some power. We need some supernatural power. And the Holy Ghost gives us that supernatural power to keep us. It is our keeping power. To help us live a godly and a victorious life. Nevertheless, he will still be facing a difficult time, and temptation will test his alignment to Christ. It doesn't make any difference how saved you are. You're going to be tested. No matter how long you've been in Christ, you're going to be tested. God will make the way when you are tempted. He'll make a way for you to escape. He'll, amen. You don't have to bow down to temptation because you repent. After sin implies that our sinful nature should remain a defeated enemy. Our old sinful nature, amen, is it should remain a defeated enemy. If you done got victory over it, amen, let victory, amen, constantly, amen, be won. If you done got victory over your own flesh, amen, praise God for it. We are not to permit sin to have dominion over us. We ain't permitted, amen, sin. Sin should not rule us. Romans 6:14. Sin will try to rule over us. But when it does, we need only to modify it by the help of the Spirit. Romans 8:13. Sin don't have no dominion over us anymore. I'm talking about sanctified God. The born again person is still the same physically as before. Spirit entered his life. There is a difference in his inwardly life. And this difference shows itself in bodily expression, appearance, and behavior. We once yielded to unrighteousness, but we now yield to God and his righteousness. There is a change. We got the same old physical body. Oh, there is a change in that physical body. We are so grateful, amen, approximately our appearance is an important element of holiness. You know, when you wash a car, if you care about it, when you wash a car, amen, and you get into it, it makes you feel clean because the car is clean. Well, praise the Lord, our appearance, when we dress right, when we look the part, it can make us feel like, amen, we belong to the King. The Bible outlines several principles which applies to the appearance of a Christian. One principle is to consider his modesty. Every born-again believer ought to dress modestly. Dress appropriately. Dress like a Christian. Don't, amen, dress like the world, but dress like you know God would want you to dress. Clothe yourself. Put on the right kind of clothes. You say, well, Bishop, God ain't concerned about my clothes. Yes, he is. He's concerned about how you dress. God wants us to be decent. In verbal, as a person move away from God, he tends to expose his body in modesty. God don't want us to expose our body in modesty. We want to be modest unto God. Modest appearance covers the body accurately, and it does not draw undue attention. Modest appearance don't draw undue attention. That means, amen, you don't have to be pulling on your dress, amen. When you're in church or everywhere you're at, amen, your dress is long enough when you, amen, got to pull it and try to cover it up, you know that ain't right. Modest appearance covers the body, and it does not draw undue attention. Paul, the apostle, wrote that women are to adorn themselves in modest appearance. 1 Timothy 2:9. And certainly this principle is true for men also. We ain't talking about women, amen, only. It's talking about men also. Men are to dress appropriately, not wearing pants so tight, showing every curve, amen, that man has. They ain't got no business that same authority. Another principle to observe, amen, is that modesty or himself to fail to maintain a modest ego in the base of vanity. You don't want your life, amen, to end up in vanity. Vanity leads individuals to go through extreme measures in adoring themselves. You can look nice, amen. Don't overdo it. One example of vanity is, amen, the using of facial makeup. The Bible associates wearing makeup with evil participation in the Old Testament. Jezebel was the atonement of evil. And then when she heard that Jesus was coming, she painted her face and adorned herself. 2 Kings 9:30. Jeremiah 4:30. Compare backsliding Israel to a woman that was trying to make herself beautiful for her love. Samaritan with two lawless, adulterous women. And their faces and adorn themselves with ornaments. In Ezekiel 23:36-44. Vanity is also exhibited by the wearing of excess jewelry. We see so much of that today. There's no harm, amen, for the Christian women today is aware. Excess jewelry. All kind of jewelry. But I believe if you read our Bible, look closely, God will get vanity and pride violates the base principles of humanity. And moderation, which God desired in his people. The prophet Isaiah clearly described that vanity of wearing ornaments. In Isaiah 3:16-26, when the people of Israel displayed their pride by wearing ornaments of jewelry, God pronounced the judgment upon them. In the New Testament, Paul admonished Timothy with regard to the proper adorning of a Christian woman. 1 Timothy 2:9, he said, in like manner also, that a woman adorn himself in modest appearance, with shamefaced and soberness, not raised of hair of gold and pearls, in costly array. Paul, amen, let Timothy know that all that hairstyling and all that they put in their hair, it wasn't me. God desired for a man to dress and look and act like a man, and for a woman to dress and look and act like a woman. In 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, the Apostle Paul wrote, "How length is a paramount distinguish between man and a woman." He wrote, "Amen to man to keep their hair short, and for a woman to have long hair." This is Dr. Moore tonight saying, "Amen. God bless you in Radio Land. My time is for all spent."